Delighted to have you with us today. We want to congratulate and give our appreciation to our mothers. And we'll be congratulating our graduates first part of next service. Y'all look a lot brighter today. I think the new lights have brightened things up. And delighted to have you with us. Let me mention, I want to thank everybody who's participated in our worship so far this morning. I don't know if you noticed it, but I'm sure our elders did, and I know that I did, that every single person who participated was here at the podium when it was time for them. And they were ready and were spot on in helping everything to move along. Our lesson for this morning was the one I intended to give last week, and then appreciate David so much preaching in my sickness and illness. And but the more I thought about it, the more I thought this is exactly what needs to be said today to our mothers and to our graduates and to all of us. So I decided to use the lesson that I had for last Sunday morning. Tonight's lesson will be different from what was planned last week. And because we've moved on in our reading, and so we're going to move a little further. But I have one question that I'm going to make to our graduates that also applies to every single one of us. And it may not look like it attaches or leads into our lesson, but it does. The question or the challenge for all of our graduates and for all of us is this. As you're about to leave home, you graduate from school. The most important question for you to consider is, will you pay attention to what God says? That's the most important question. And it's the most important question for all of us. Because every single one of us have an appointment with God when our life is over with here. And when we have that appointment with God when our life is over here, the only thing that will matter is what God says. And if it's not the only thing that matters while we're alive, that appointment will not go well. That is our most important question. In the book of Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul gives a series of admonitions to the church at Rome. He does this throughout the majority of the rest of this chapter 12. But I want us to focus on three things that he says in verse 12. I want us to read them together, and then we're going to go back over them one at a time. And as he gives this admonition to the church at Rome and also to us, in verse 12, he will say this: be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer. Now, this kind of summarizes so much of what the Bible has to say. And so I want us to look at those three things. Be joyful in hope is the first one. Let's define the terms. Joyful, it means to rejoice, to be glad. It is more than an emotion. It is an emotion, but it's more than that. It's a learned discipline. And as a learned discipline, in other words, it's something I train myself to do. I teach myself to do. I practice until it becomes a habit with me. And as a part of this learned discipline, it's similar to what Paul says in Philippians 4:11 when he says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Now, notice the first part of that. This is something Paul had to learn. He had to train himself in. He had to teach himself. He had to make himself do it until it was a part of his life and a part of who he was. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. And so Paul is admonishing all of us to learn to be joyful in our hope. Hope. two definitions: to desire something with expectation. And normally that kind of desire comes out of the inside of us. When you ask somebody, well, what do you really want? And they talk to you about their inner desires and their inner emotions and what it is they're really striving for. That's one kind of hope, to desire with expectation. But the other kind of hope is to trust. Because the hope doesn't come from within you. And the hope is not something you can provide for yourself. The hope is something that is given to you. The hope is outside of you. And so with regard to this kind of hope, we have to come to the point where we trust. It is given to us in this world, where sin has come as a promise from God, who cannot lie and who can do all things. So here's this hope. What is this hope? All your sins are forgiven. What is this hope? God has a desire for you. And he's done everything that needs to be done in order for you to be accepted into his presence. In spite of the sin you've committed, to be cast out of his presence. In spite of all the wrong that you've done, to be considered as dead to him because of your unfaithfulness to him, because you have not listened to what he has said. And when Christ died on the cross, he paid a penalty we will never be able to pay ourselves. And he did something for us we can never do for ourselves. He paid for all the sins that we have committed. And if we trust him, if we believe him, through him and his death for us, we are accepted by God as his very children. And allowed to be in heaven with God. And allowed to be fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, be joyful in your hope. All right, let's break that down and let's think about it for a minute. Notice, it's not just recognizing you have a hope. That's not what Paul's admonishing. It is to be joyful in your hope. Now, what is the struggle with that? Well, we're all the same. And your struggle is the same as mine. And my struggle is the same as yours. And both of our struggles is the same as the struggle Paul had. And it's the same struggle that Paul knew all the Romans would have, and that all Christians would have, because there's an accuser who constantly accuses us. Who constantly accuses us before God, but more importantly, accuses us to ourselves. And this accuser, the devil, is constantly saying to us, what? Are you forgiven for what you've done? You got to be kidding me. Do you really think with what you have done and what you are continuing to do, you are forgiven? And the accuser is constantly there. Paul will write about it. I see a war going on inside of me, and I'm not winning the war. I see this war going on inside of me, and what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I wind up doing. And this miserable, wretched person that I am, how can you have joy in hope? How can I be joyful in hope when I see me as I am and I know who I am and I know what I've done and I know what I'm doing? So Paul, how dare you to tell me to be joyful in hope? But he does. But it's not just him. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God telling me to be joyful in my hope. How can I be joyful in my hope? Number one, I recognize that my hope is not based on my perfection. My hope is not based on me doing everything right and getting everything right. My hope is based on Jesus. It is not on me. It is on Jesus. And my hope is mine because I believe Jesus. And when Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, I believe him. When Jesus says, if you will acknowledge your sins and acknowledge those sins before God, I will be faithful and just to forgive you of every sin you commit, I believe him. And so when that accuser comes, I can say to him, no, I've told God about that. I've acknowledged that to God. I've asked God to forgive me. And God, through Christ and what he's done, has forgiven me. So get away from me, Satan. Because your lies don't work. Because I have God's promise. And when I understand that, when I understand that it's not about me, it's about what Jesus has done for me, then I can understand how I can be joyful in my hope because of what Christ has done for me. And it's not just an emotion. It's at the very depth of my heart and my mind and my belief and my understanding of exactly what God has said. And do you see how important this joy in my hope is? If I go through life and I have no real hope because I don't believe what God said, there are only two possibilities for why. One is because I can't get the mind off of me being perfect and trusting what God has done for me in Jesus. And the other one is, I just don't believe God's telling the truth. I just don't believe what God is saying is really for me. And both are a denial of the faith that I'm to have in what God has said. But if I recognize what God has said and I believe him, that in spite of my own weaknesses, Christ died for me and my sins are paid for, then look at the motivation that gives to me for striving to put away sin, for striving to not allow sin to dominate me, but to strive to live for the one who's already paid for all of my sins. And when I recognize what God through Christ has done for me, then I can have joy in my hope because it's done for me by Jesus. And it's not dependent upon my perfection and my never making a mistake. It's just dependent upon me trusting Jesus and what he has said. So I can have joy in my hope. And when I have joy in my hope, it leads to this. When I have joy in my hope, then I can be patient in my affliction. Let's define the terms. Patient. It means to persevere. It means to endure. It means to put up with. It means to never quit. It means that no matter what happens and no matter what occurs, I will never turn my back on God and I will never move away from the joy of my hope. No matter what happens to me. So I will be patient, persevere, endure, keep on keeping on. In all of my affliction, all of my tribulations, all of my suffering. The apostle, the writer James, brother of Jesus in James 1, 2 through 4 says, count it all joy when you suffer all kinds of problems and sufferings and tribulations, knowing that all of that suffering that you're enduring builds your patience. builds your endurance. And as your endurance is built up and you become stronger in facing whatever it is you have to face, then you become mature. You become full grown. You become the adult God wants you to be and God would have you to be. And enduring all of these things that come against us, then we begin to grow more and more in the joy of our hope as we endure all of these different things. But what's the one thing that seems to trip us up more than anything else is our anger with God when things don't go as we think they ought to go. When we get angry with God because things haven't happened the way we wanted them to, that is when the challenge really comes to us with being patient and enduring in our afflictions, no matter what they are. There are two examples of it given to us in the Bible. One, I think we can easily see through. And that's when Naaman the Syrian came to the prophet Elisha and was told to go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times and he would be cured of his leprosy. And he became angry because he thought the prophet would come out and say some words and dance around and do some really elaborate things and cause him to do something that would really be impressive. And instead he tells him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And he refuses to do it. And he's about to go away in anger. Because God didn't do what he expected. God didn't do what he thought he would do. God didn't do what he thought needed to be done. And instead he gave him something that to Naaman seemed absolutely foolish and absolutely worthless. But he had a servant. And Naaman was a man who would listen even to a servant and listen even in his anger. And the servant said, if he told you to do some great thing, would you not have done that? Then why not do this little thing that God has simply asked you to do? So Naaman went to the Jordan River and he dipped 7 times and his leprosy was cleansed. Patient, enduring. Even when I don't like what God has said, I don't understand why God said it, why God did it, and I don't like what God did. And the prime example of that is Job, who thought that if I could just stand in front of God, I can straighten God out. If I could just stand in front of God and tell him how I feel and what's going on inside of me, I would get God to change his mind and let him know that he's got the wrong person and he's punishing the wrong person. God never says it to Job, but he lets us know. Job, why are you calling this punishment? This isn't punishment. This is God glorifying you before all the host of heaven. Where did you get the idea it was punishment? You don't even know what you're talking about, Job. Now that's where God goes. When God does talk to Job, he never tells him one word about why, never tells him one word about what's going on. He just simply says, on what mountaintop are you standing to understand what I'm doing and why it's being done? On what mountaintop are you standing to evaluate me and what I do as to whether it's right or wrong? And Job realized it's wrong. So joy in my hope helps me to be patient in my affliction, which increases my joy in my hope. And then the third one, be faithful in prayer. Faithful, devoted to it. Continuing instant. Maybe what Paul was talking about when he says, pray continuously. Pray all the time. Be constant. Persist. Persevere. Prayer. Prayer is intentional communication with God. It is you knowing you are talking to God and God is listening. And it is your intentional communication to God. When you read the book of Psalms, you understand God welcomes everything that comes from our heart. Whether we're upset or not, whether we're angry or not, whether we have questions or not, he wants us to talk to him out of the very depths of our heart. It means talking to God who's really there. Talking to the God who really listens. Talking to the God who already knows every thought you're having, everything you're doing, every whisper inside of the depth of your soul that you wouldn't share with anybody else, he already knows. So how are we doing? Where are we? Where are we in the joy of our hope? Where are we in the patience of our affliction? Or through our affliction? Where are we? And being faithful in prayer. Three little phrases out of a very short verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, where Paul kind of summarizes how all this comes together in our faithfulness to Christ, our following him, and our obedience to him. May God help us to understand our hope and know the joy of it, and live in the joy of it. May God help us then to be patient and enduring, no matter what comes our way. And may God help us to be faithful and constant in our real communication with him. This morning, if you're ready to become a Christian, we want to offer you an opportunity to put on Christ in baptism. If you need to come home to Christ, we want to offer you that opportunity as well. And we invite you to do any of those things as together we stand and as we sing.